Donna, I was not like you. And the catechism is something we had to go to. I can remember every Tuesday night, I was the first one there, Donna. I couldn't wait. No comments, Theo. I couldn't wait to have the catechism. Pastor Jack has done a great job introducing it to us. Really, the catechism is a summary of all that the Bible is intended to teach on everything we need to know in the matters of faith and salvation. And I find it interesting how God works because of all that's been going on in the world, and this series was planned well ahead of that. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Have you ever wrestled with that question? Because what it's asking is, where is your fortitude? Where is your solace? Where is your comfort? Where is your security? Let me take you to the events over the last number of weeks. Let's start with an easy one. About 2 weeks ago, Life Labs declared that there was a breach in their security. 15 million Canadians' health card information, birthdays, passwords, and other information was leaked out over the internet. Let me take you to this week. The general in Iran was taken out and was killed. At his funeral, 56 people so far have been known to be killed. Hundreds have been trampled on. Many of us know about the devastation that is going on in Australia. Millions of animals have died. Thousands of hectares of land have been destroyed. Many are displaced. Not getting a whole lot of attention is a 6.4 earthquake that has ravished Puerto Rico. Many trying to come out of the devastation. All over the news is the downed airline, Ukrainian airline in Iran, where it's now been proven that it was taken down unintentionally, not by one, but now believed by two missiles. The world's asking a lot of questions. There are many of us who have been affected by some or all of these events. Just going to Jared's soccer on Friday night, hearing the Iranian community talking about they all knew someone that was affected. They are all going to wakes. And so the question came up on Friday night, how do you find comfort in the midst of this? Isn't that a question we all ask? What is our comfort when life doesn't go well? Where is our solace? Where is our protection? Where is our shelter? I think of an adaptation that we sang this morning of one of my favorite old songs. It's called When Peace Like a River or It Is Well With My Soul, where a man named Horatio Spafford had his family crossing over the ocean. His wife and his daughters died as their ship went down. It's there that he wrote a hymn, and at that spot where they believed the ship went down, that these words were penned. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And the hymn goes on and it says, and Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Comfort. Do you notice that it doesn't remove the situation in the midst of our story, but it does speak into it? Comfort when your child comes home from school. Maybe they've just been bullied. Maybe they didn't make the basketball team. Maybe their grades weren't very good. And they come home crying, and they are in the midst of a warm embrace. There's comfort. Think of the colleague who comes to your cubicle and they tell you the story of a devastation in their family. And they pour out their story. You come out of the doctor's office and the news isn't good. And there is someone to embrace your tears and there is comfort. Hearing stories, and I suspect I'll be in this category coming up. I know I will. But you drop your child off for university for the first time and you prepared them and your job is to release them. They're all ready to settle into university and you drive the car away. And tears begin to go down your face, but that's what you're preparing them for. There's comfort when we prepare and we present our children for baptism. And we hear the story of the grace and the love and the mercy of God. There's comfort for our story when we celebrate the Lord's Supper and we hear, here is my body given for you. Take it and drink. Remember, my blood was shed out for you. Comfort. Here's some words this morning from the scriptures. Paul writes to the church in Rome, "For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died. He returned to life so that he might be Lord of the living and the dead." Or these words, "God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Or those words in John 14. It's a paraphrase up here. But he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. See, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, will I not also come to take you where I am?" is the full text. What is your only comfort in life and in death? The Catechism is written in the 16th century. Authors such as Fred Kloster in his book, Our Only Comfort, begin to tell us more of what's going on. It was an age of religious antagonism between the Catholic Church, the Anabaptists, and the Protestants, predominantly still controlled by what we know as the Roman Catholic Church. It was an age of disaster and of famine and of hardship. Crops failed. People died early. The economy wasn't good. It was an age where people believed they needed to do good work or make penance in order to be saved. And then you just hoped that you had done enough, that you were good enough to merit God's favor. It was an age of spiritual anxiety. Is there any wonder why the question would ring so true? What is your only comfort? Think of that heightened anxiety today about the stability of the world, about the security of a job, of the questions of medical science, and how wonderful it is, can it do enough. I think more than ever, that question is so real for us. What is your comfort in life and in death? Because the answers that I'm hearing in the world, and maybe you are as well, just don't suffice. Let me give you one of them. Be sure to do the right thing. Otherwise, remember, our missiles are bigger and stronger and more powerful and more accurate than anything you can send at us. Pretty clear words we heard from the President of the United States this week. Power. We think of that idea and we take comfort that militarily our neighbors are strong. We take comfort that we have good police forces. We take comfort at home that we have good, strong doors and our fences are high. We take comfort that when we go away, our houses are safe because we pull out our phone and if someone comes to our door, it sends us an alert and you can either say, go away, you can push a button, it sounds like there's a dog. You can press a button and you can turn on your lights and it appears that you're home and you're not. And we find comfort in that. But does it really provide comfort and security? Compare that to another sort of comfort where a baby is born in a manger and he comes and he lives and he moves and he dies and he's buried and he's resurrected and he ascends to God, the Father, and he watches over the earth. What is your only comfort in life and in death? The Bible tells us the answer, and in this question and answer, it summarizes it this way. I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how can we know that? We can know that because Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians that you and I were bought with a price. When Jesus Christ came into the world and he lived and he died for you and I that we might know him and know him forever, there's not a square inch of our lives that it does not cover. And yet it goes far in the face of what culture teaches, that you are your own. You are independent. You can be your own master. You have control over your life. And look where that's getting us in our understanding of culture. It's leaving us empty and searching for more. Over and against the teaching of the church at this time, the authors of the Catechism, Zacharias Eurinius and Caspar Olivianus, begin to say, no, the scriptures teach us that we are saved by grace, that we are redeemed, that we belong to God, that our comfort lies in the fact that Paul writes in Philippians that he who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, that he humbled himself and he came to earth as a servant. And not only did he come to earth as a servant, but he went to the cross for you and I. And because we belong to him, we have that comfort. Can you picture that this morning? That comfort, very evidently pictured in a little child running to their parents. And what parent isn't going to open their arms wide? And what parent isn't going to embrace their child? And what parent isn't going to hold them close? And there they experience unconditional love. How much more can we rest in the goodness and the provision of a loving God? If he's going to risk his life for us, would he not also watch over every area of our lives? Paul writes it this way. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of compassion and the comfort of all, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so we also, our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. He really is talking to us this morning, isn't it? About the constant, ongoing presence of God. He's not leaving out the fact that bad things happen, that there's evil in the world. But he reminds us that God is at work fulfilling his plan of redemption. That in the midst of all that God is, that we see in the world, that God is bringing about not only redemption, but bringing humanity unto himself. That it reminds us that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. It reminds us that his eyes are always upon us. The psalmist says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help from God. It echoes the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 41, where it says, I am with you. It echoes the words of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Speaks of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 27, where it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. When the catechism begins to speak of comfort, it begins to speak about the providence of God. And how in the midst of the story, he invites us to rest in the provision of grace. Because I belong to him. Christ, by his Spirit, assures me of eternal life. There is our loving God speaking into the story of our lives. Whether you are looking at Ephesians 2, whether you are looking at Romans 6, whether you are looking at the story of creation, we're reminded that we belong to God. And that we can rest because of his grace. And knowing that we will spend eternity with him. And if God is taking care of our eternity, we can rest in the fact that God cares and watches over all the other details of our lives. And then he says this in the catechism. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Spirit makes me wholeheartedly ready to live for him. Have you ever thought of the implications of that? As planes are shot out of the air, as fires begin to ravish, as the potential of war lies at the forefront, as our own stories are circled with uncertainty, that there's a loving Father whose arms are like this, who wants to embrace you, who wants you to experience the comfort that he has to offer. And he says this, there's a part for you in this. God always has a part for his church in here. To be the hands and the feet of Jesus here and around the world. To create a space of hope and healing and inspiration. See, as God through his Spirit speaks into the story of our lives, who assures us that we belong to him, that we are forgiven, that he's got us held in the story of life, that we can sit next to that person, that we can hear and we can listen as we see tears roll down a face, as we hear the questions, as we did on Friday night at a soccer practice, is there any comfort? We as the church can stand and we can say there is a comfort. There's a comfort in Jesus, who not only redeemed you, but watches over every aspect of your lives And he grieves when you grieve. And he sustains and he carries and he picks you up. And he loves you more than you could ever imagine. And we can sit in the story and we can begin to tell of a loving, gracious God who's got us even when the story doesn't make sense. That's our comfort in life and in death, that we belong to Jesus. Amen. I'd like to invite you to stand with me before we pray. And I like to echo what we believe as a church, which summarizes the whole truth of Scripture by saying together the words of Heuber question and answer number one, which will appear on the screen. So would you stand with me and would you recite this with me? Is it? There it is. All right, let's say together. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own,
but belong body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the power of hell and of death. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready, and I want to live for him.
I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and want you to remain standing as we pray together.
You are the only comfort in life and in death for the world. And Lord, we live in a world right now that is asking a lot of questions. Lord, we hear of the fire that is burning across Australia, the lives that are being devastated. We think of the travesty of a passenger airliner being blown out of the sky. We think of living in a part of the world where earthquakes are far too common and lives are constantly having to be rebuilt. We look at our own story this morning. And Lord, we echo those words that we need comfort. We pray, O Lord, that you would speak through your church, through us, into the stories to which we can touch every day, to which your church, not only here but around the world, can speak into. That you, by your Spirit, would speak into our story this morning if we are in the need of comfort. And that, Lord, that you would assure us this morning of the hope that is in us, of the hope of not of only of eternal life, but you would assure us this morning that you are still in control when we don't see it. And we pray that, Lord, that when we don't see it by faith, we would hold on, believing that you are bringing out all things together. And that, Lord, in your way and in your time, maybe not in this life, but maybe in eternity, you'll reveal how it all works. But that, Lord, as your church right here and right now, we would be ready to echo the teachings of your word. And that we'd be ready wholeheartedly and willing to give an account of the hope that we profess in Christ alone. And that, Lord, we'd be ready to offer that hope to the world in whatever way you call us to this week. that there may be comfort for those who are in need. In your name we pray.